Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Irish Sports Daily Morning After Recap Show, the morning after the Notre Dame spring game. I am Greg Flamong, flying solo. Jamie and I got jammed up this weekend, hand up on the part of both of us. We don't like to do that. We don't accept that we weren't able to do a live reaction show to the spring game, but it just didn't work out. Jamie got jammed up with kids stuff, couldn't find a sitter. I had kids stuff going on all day, but we did want to do something to recap the game because this is actually a really good football game, really good scrimmage that I want to talk about because I think a lot of the time there is a scrimmage, especially at the end of spring, that isn't really a well-played football game, and this one was. I thought that was kind of one of my main takeaways. I thought the level of play was really high. I thought you could take every single position, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about every position that kind of took part in the game. I thought there was high-level plays from each position, and I think that's one of the main takeaways that I have from this game. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about all the things that are going on in the chat. Rajon does not like that a fourth string quarterback is the thumbnail on this video. I think is making a little bit of a joke, but we're going to talk about everything. The chat's going off right now. Thank you everyone for being here. Robert Halicki is here. CFB Hertz is despondent that the blue team won. Gold is on a losing streak right now. What are they going to do? Is Dylan McCall on the hot seat as far as being the spring game coach? We got to talk about that. So thank you everyone for tuning in. If this is your first time catching our show or first time watching Hit and Hustle on this channel, please subscribe to this channel. Please hit the like button on this video. Please hit the notification bell so you know whatever it is we are going live. Links to the podcast are in the description below if that is your preferred method of listening to this content. Notre Dame unveiled they're going to break ground on a new athletics facility, which is going to be state of the art. Basically replacing the Goog, right? So the Goog is going to be no more, and they're going to have state-of-the-art facility going up, and I think everyone's very excited about that. We've been talking about that a ton over the last couple of years, right? So that's going up, and that's good. You always want to freshen things up. You always want to liven things up. You always want to kind of upgrade your situation. And if you want to upgrade your clothing situation, what you can do is you can go to esqclothing.com, founded by Notre Dame alum God Wang. You've seen ESQ on all your favorite Notre Dame players and coaches with over a decade of making the best custom clothing available. ESQ will help you look and feel your best in 2024 from a perfect fitting suit or sport coat, shirt or bomber jacket, or the perfect tuxedo for wedding season. Check out God's amazing work at esqclothing.com. Book an appointment to upgrade your wardrobe today. Mention ISD and get 10% off your entire purchase. All right, everybody. Let's get into it. Like I said at the top, watching the game. So the advantage of not going live right afterwards is I got to watch the game kind of a couple times now. And I think, and I said it before, my main takeaway was, man, I was like, this is a well-coached team. Like they are sharp. They are all assignment sound. Like they're all doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. A lot of the players who had plays made on them were kind of walk-ons or high reserves, right? So like Micah Bell got beat by Micah Gilbert. He's lower on the depth chart. Isaiah Dunn got beaten by Chris Mitchell. Obviously, he's a walk-on, right? So it was that sort of thing. Like the big plays came against players who aren't going to be regular players for Notre Dame. But I still thought there were high-level plays being made against and by players who we expect to contribute all the time. And we've talked a ton about the coaching staff and how, you know, this is the best staff Notre Dame has had in a really long time. And I thought that really showed watching the game. Just the level of play that was out there. I mean, Micah Bell, who, like I just mentioned before, he is a reserve corner slot guy, has three pass breakups in this game, right? It's like, that's really good production. It's not like he's out there and he's not playing well. Like he's actually making plays in the game. He's doing a good job. I thought the offensive line for the fact that it was kind of thrown together, right? A bunch of guys who aren't used to playing against each other on a regular or with each other on a regular basis. The running backs, I thought, had a good game. Jeremiah Love and Jerbon Payne were 17 carries for 94 yards between the two of them. In a spring game, I think that's really good when that part of the game isn't emphasized hardly at all. That doesn't even mention Kenny Minchie and hit the way that he ran the ball. I thought CJ Carr ran the ball pretty well. I thought Steve Angeli was pretty mobile in this game. So there was a lot going on that was really good. The linebackers, Josh Miller's bringing up the linebackers. The linebackers were long, covered great space. Man, that was a position group that I think a lot of people were excited about. I was excited to see. Jalen Snead, I thought, was as advertised in terms of people have been talking about how the light has gone on for him. He's a completely different player. I completely agree. Everything that he did, I thought, was kind of on time, coming with assertiveness, coming with urgency, but also not completely out of control. I love the way he played yesterday. We barely saw Jack Kaiser in the game. KVA was flashing, very aggressive. Drake Bowen made a great play on a screen pass, fought over the block, made the play right around the line of scrimmage. I thought he did a good job. Jaden Osbury looks fantastic. I just love the way that he was moving around. I was really impressed by that entire group. So a lot to like there. Like that situation is, I think, the way that I wanted to see it, right? I get nervous about reports about positions without having to see it, especially like Jalen Snead. I mentioned it on the preview show. I was wanting to see, and I did see it, and he looked fantastic. Blayberg, this is a great point. Like Preston Zinter made a number of plays yesterday. He is going to find it very difficult to get on the field for Notre Dame in 2024. And he's out there making plays. I just thought he's a good player. The depth of talent across the board for the Notre Dame football team right now is a lot better than I recall it being in a very long time. What does that lead to in terms of wins and losses and the ceiling for the team? That's to be determined. But just the number of play, if Preston Zinter had to play lots of snaps in a football game for Notre Dame, I would feel completely fine with it. So I'm good on that. Watching the punter, let's see. The point made by Josh Miller, watching punting before the game, we definitely need a punter. Marcus Freeman said that. He mentioned that they're going to go into the portal for a punter, so that's going to be something that they're tracking there. Jay Lehman says, assume the center for Steve Angeli isn't the one. So that was Sam Pendleton. And we had heard he was having snapping problems in camp or in spring practice, and that came to fruition. There were a couple of snaps. But the one was, like, low and left. Like, never – no one's getting that. There was another bad snap in the game. So we saw a couple of bad snaps. That's going to be, look, you got to snap the ball, right? Well, I mean, Alabama went through this in the semifinal, right? Kind of might have cost them the game, right? So you got to snap the ball. He's got to get it figured out. But I think it's a new position for him, so we got to be patient with that. It's just something to keep in mind for that situation. It's going to be difficult for him. Rajon says, I was impressed in the bowl game that the O-line played so clean. Seems yesterday they were too few operational mistakes. Agree. There were times when they got beaten for sure. Charles Jagusaw just got absolutely cooked by RJ Oben. That's why you want RJ Oben on your team, first of all, because he can do something like that. Just completely turned the corner on Jagusaw and got to the quarterback, got to Kenny Minchie. You don't like to see that from Jagusaw, but it wasn't something that he wasn't a turnstile, haven't happened over and over again, right? It just showed like, man, RJ Oben, he's got something coming around the corner. Jalen Snead coming off the edge was just an absolute rocket ship. His first step is really impressive. Really, really impressive. So that's something. Josh Miller says, Jaden Osbury looks positionless. I think he feels like that. I'll bet you we see him on the field a bunch, though. He's going to play. He's too athletic. I honestly don't think there's a ton of guys that can fill that JOK role, but I think he's got a chance. He's a really good athlete. He moves around really well. He's got a nose for it. Really good football player. They got a lot there. I understand like the thought of we don't know where his position is going to be, but they are going to find a way to play him. He's too good for that. And he's ready to be out there and contributing. Willie O says, dude, what about Kia? 11 tackles. Keanu Kia, straight out of his mission, out there making plays, like blowing up screen passes. He looked amazing. I mean, he looked great. There are so many guys who can play for linebacker for Notre Dame right now. Max Bulla got his hands full, but man, Max Bulla is he's a really good football coach. He's got those guys dialed in. Adam Dowling, CJ Carr looks so comfortable, and a kid that just knows how to play the quarterback position. All right, let's talk about the quarterbacks right now. We need to talk about the quarterbacks. Steve Angeli played really well. Let's throw up the stats too while we're here. We'll throw up the stats while we'll talk about it. All right, so Steve Angeli in the game, 17-25 for 228. Didn't really put the ball at risk, you know, too much. There was one pass play over the middle to Eli Raritan. Not a great throw, threw in the dirt. I don't know if he got bumped or whatever it was. He kind of put on the touchdown pass, he kind of put Raritan in a bad spot. I think Adon Shuler in a game situation could have absolutely blown him up. I think he's being a little bit, you know, kind of chill as far as, you know, I'm not going to kill my guy in a spring game, which I appreciate. Okay. So there's that. I thought Steve Angeli, he played like he did in the bowl game. He was poised. He knew where he was looking. You know, he's hitting the check down when he's supposed to. Like a couple of times, you want to see them push it a little bit more just for the sake of doing so. But, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. Like, it's not like there's a bunch of negative grades you're going to give him. Like, I thought he played a good football game. Okay. So he looked good. If Steve Angeli's got to start a game, I'm very comfortable with that. Kenny Minchie, and I'm interested to get everyone's take on this. There were a lot of like Everett Golson vibes that I got from him. Like the way that he can flick the ball, the way that he releases it, like on the first drive that he had, he had a curl route to Micah Gilbert that Gilbert dropped in the hole. And man, he got that out on time with good timing. He fit it into this little window that he had to do it. There were players closing in on him. If Gilbert makes the catch, it's a first down and they're moving on. End up dropping it. They had to punt. But man, he flicks the ball. The way that he put the ball on KK Smith, they ran a little wheel route, rub route that frankly is illegal, right? And Marty Orr was losing his mind on the ref because he was clearly picked. But like he puts it in a perfect place, perfect placement. The touchdown pass to Gilbert against Micah Bell, honestly, that might have been the best throw of the game in terms of like I put it on Twitter too. The way that he throws him open, right? So I don't have the video here. You can go back and look on my Twitter page at Greg2126 if you want to check it out. But Gilbert's running up the sideline. Micah Bell is there. Okay. If Kenny Minchie throws it completely in front and it's kind of like he's got to run under it, Micah Bell is going to be there. He's going to make a play on the ball. Kenny Minchie leads him over his outside shoulder. So he moves the offensive player away from the defender. That's what I talk about throwing him open. It's like Micah Bell is in phase and then all of a sudden he's not, right? At the last second because of the ball placement. Now, I put it on Twitter as well. Great play by Micah Gilbert to be on the numbers and give Minshew that room to place the ball. If he's closer to the sideline, then Micah Bell will be there. If that ball goes over the shoulder, then he's going to be out of bounds. But he stayed on the numbers, allowed the room for Kenny Minshew to put the ball on the outside. It was a great throw. It was a great route by two guys who have not played a ton of football for Notre Dame. Mikey Gilbert has been on campus for about 3 months. Okay, Kenny Minshew didn't play a ton of reps last year. Great high-level play by two young guys. I thought Kenny Minshew running the ball. The reason I brought up the Everett Golson thing is, man, he looked good running the ball. 5 rushing first downs for Kenny Minshew in this game. Right, so he ends up with 6 carries for 48 yards. He was also sacked one time, so he lost yardage there. He's probably more like, 8 lost yards. So like 5 carries for about, 5 carries for 48 yards. So almost 10 yards per run by him, 5 rushing first downs. Like, that's always going to work. He is a lot more mobile than I think we kind of thought, you know, going into this game, going at just thinking about him as a player. I always thought of him as more of a Deshaun Kizer type runner. I think he's more of an Everett Golson type runner. I mean, he ran the ball, like, he tucks his shoulder. They ran quarterback sweep on the goal line, get him into the end zone. So he ends up scoring a rushing touchdown on that one. He accounts for 2 touchdowns on the day. I thought his interception was not great. Never throw that ball. Like, never throw that ball. But I think he's trying to make a play, and I appreciate it. Try to make a play in the spring game. So I liked him. I thought Kenny Minshew looked good. I thought he played a great football game for the situation that he was in. I mean, his skill guys are Aeneas Williams, Micah Gilbert, and KK Smith. Aeneas Williams been on campus for 3 months. Micah Gilbert been on campus for 3 months. KK Smith redshirt. And he was out for a lot of the last fall because of his shoulder. So he hasn't played a ton of football. He's got Cooper Flanagan, who is a reserve tight end. Thought he played a good game as well. So he was really up against it in terms of his skill guys. Ended up leading the offense down on 2 touchdowns against what we know is a good defense. I was impressed by Kenny Minshew. I know people would look at the stats and say, he was the least impressive quarterback. I thought he was right up there. He did some high level things, and I was really impressed with the way he played. All right, the CJ Carr situation. Listen, I don't want to freak out about this. And I went into it thinking I don't want to be overreaction guy to anything. Okay, so that's where I'm coming from on this situation with CJ Carr. I thought he was fantastic. I thought he played like a guy who's been in the program for a couple of years. I thought the throws that he was making were like, if Sam Hartman made these throws, you'd be like, yeah, that's why you get Sam Hartman out of the portal. Like, he threw a deep out to KK Smith to the field from the opposite hash, threw it over linebacker, fitted in perfect. He's on his back foot, no step, hitting Deion Colsey on an in route in front of a Don Shuler. Just fit it in there. The throw that he made to Micah Gilbert for the touchdown is in the perfect spot. Perfect touch. He's rolling out, hitting Deion Colsey on a rollout in perfect stride. He's spinning around in the pocket. Because he's live now, right? He got sacked the most, right? For sure. But the things that he was doing in this game, the way that where he was putting the ball, the command that he had in this game, it's just undeniable the way that he led that team. I mean, I don't want to overreact to stuff. I'm not overreacting. I'm just saying It was good. It was good. I'll probably show a bunch of stuff. I'll probably make some clips showing the quality of play. It's just really good. There's no other way to put it. He played great. He was fantastic in the game. It's 8 of 13 for the gold team for 99 yards and one touchdown, and 7 of 10 for 66 yards. So what is that? 167, 15 of 23 for 167. It's just a good job. It's a good football game. He played great. So that's where it is. We made a little prop in the Kevin Stefferson, they said he was good, and my God, he is good award. That's CJ Carr. And honestly, and the thing is, Micah Gilbert looked great. He could have won that. KVA looked great. He could have won that. Aeneas Williams looked good. He wouldn't have won it, but like the guys that were hyped up, Micah Gilbert and KVA, they both performed, and CJ Carr outperformed them. Three early enrollee freshmen who were hyped up coming into the game. Micah Gilbert scores two touchdowns. KVA is playing with like a man possessed out there, and CJ Carr outperforms them. He was really good. He was really good, and I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know who is going to end up being the guy. All I know is that Minchie looked good, and Carr looked great, and Angeli looked good. It's just what it is, you know? And so we're just going to have to be ready for that. There's some questions in the chat. I'm going to get to those. We'll talk about that. Mitchell Vahilic, let's see here. My favorite play was an incomplete pass. Carr recognizes cover two and delivers a strike to Greathouse in the hole. But KBA's job was perfect and broke up the pass. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just like high-level plays. These are high-level plays in the spring, and we love to see that. All right, Brian Heaney says, from what you saw yesterday, what do you think the win-loss record of the last year or two would have been with this team? I mean, here's where they are better. Okay. And because, you know, I'm like, Riley Leonard didn't even play. Right. And that's another part of this. Okay. Let's bring up the stats again. Cause this is another part of this, right? Riley Leonard doesn't play. Jadarian Price doesn't play. Micah Gilbert, 5 for 79. KK Smith, 3 for 54. Cooper Flanagan, 3 for 34. Deion Colsey, 4 for 58. Jack Larson, 4 for 41. Jaden Greathouse, 3 for 38. Chris Mitchell, 2 for 69. Like, Notre Dame is moving the ball with their skill players. Like, Jeremiah loves catching balls out of the backfield. They're moving the ball with their skill players. You don't have Jordan Faison in this game. You don't have Jaden Thomas in this game. You don't have Bo Collins in this game. You don't have Jaden Harrison in this game. You don't have Mitchell Evans in this game. Like, if Notre Dame started Jaden Thomas, Jordan Faison, and Bo Collins, you'd be like, that's a good starting three. Those are three. They're not even playing. Mitchell Evans, tight end one, not playing. Notre Dame's moving the ball. Okay. That has not been like, I bet you the person who was most upset watching this was Sam Hartman, these weapons that they have. Think back. And if you're a longtime listener to Hit and Hustle, we talked about this a ton last year with the wide receivers and the way in the passing game. Think back to this spring game yesterday. How many times did they throw to the field last year? This was a whole problem, right? It's like, oh, Tobias, like, why isn't he doing anything? They didn't get production out of the field. They put Jaden Greathouse over there. Didn't get production out of the field, even with Jaden Greathouse. They were not a field team. They were a slot team. They couldn't barely get anything out of the boundary, right? It was like they were a slot team. Every play that was made is seemingly was out of the slot, right? You get a guy in the slot, they cook from there, right? But they would never. Notre Dame's pushing the ball to the field yesterday a ton. You get Chris Mitchell on a go. You get a deep out by KK Smith. You get a wheel route to KK Smith. You get another go by Micah Gilbert. I mean, they are pushing the ball to the field here. That they have not done that recently with a bunch of guys who without a bunch of key players. That to me was like, man, look how crisp they look, and they don't have a bunch of top flight athletes out there. Like, for me, that was just so encouraging, so encouraging. And Rajon said, what did you see that you thought that's Denbrock? I mean, part of this is, so yesterday they ran a lot of the same concepts over and over. And that's one thing that, like, when you look on the film and you watch it back and you're not watching the actual play, but now it's like you're looking at what they are trying to do, things of that nature. You say, okay, they're running the same concepts over and over. And that was the case defensively as well, right? There was a lot of I think I saw cover four a couple times. They ran that same, like, dropping from cover three or cover two into cover three. Like, that happened a bunch. So it was all very vanilla. I think the fact that it's so vertical, like they were so vertical, Rajon, the way that they pushed the ball down the field, the way that they took shots. Now, a part of that is the skill guys. You have the skill guys to get deep, right? So that's one part of it. They had a couple double moves there that really worked out for them. They hit touchdowns on those. I one thing that you, when I saw that's Denbrock, I thought the way that they ran the ball, I thought the way that they were running their zone read, right, where it's like the back is really attacking the line of scrimmage and the quarterback is moving forward to give it to them, like that, the way that they ran that operation was different from last year, and I thought it was really good. I mean, they had one play where, it was the zone read where the tight end comes across the field. And they got Jabron Payne for a 12-yard gain there. And then they ran the exact same action where the tight end comes and he's gonna seal on the defensive end. Exact same action, except Minchie pulls it and Flanagan releases outside. Minchie hits him, and it's a 12-yard gain for that too. Right. So it's just like that sort of thing. I saw a lot of more RPO actions off of their running plays, right? Which I don't want to make a big deal out of that because we saw a lot of RPO stuff in the spring last year. But that's all kind of not surprising. You know, ton of crossers with wheel routes. The touchdown, like the one that I put on when Kenny Minchie hit Micah Gilbert against Micah Bell, they had a wheel route on the other side of the field with Kobe, the defensive end, the walk-on defensive end. I don't want to butcher his last name, but they had him covering a wheel route against Aeneas Williams where – if it wasn't open, I mean, Kenny Minchie had to get rid of it because Drake Bowen was going to hit him in the face. But if it wasn't open, you still have a wheel route with a running back going against a defensive end that's going to be open down the left sideline. Like, stuff like that, like, that's kind of where you say, okay, like, Notre Dame's threatening in this situation. Let's move on to the running backs a little bit. I thought, obviously, Jeremiah Love looked really good. He looked really good in this game. Jadarian Price doesn't play. Jabron Payne, to me, was a revelation. And his quickness through the hole, his explosiveness. Jamie Uwayama, Mr. University himself, he tweeted out that Dylan McCullough said that Jabron Payne added 5 inches to his vertical. Basically, he's a much more explosive player than he's been. I thought that absolutely showed. I hadn't seen the tweet. And watching the game, you see Jabron Payne, like the way that he's moving around, man, you think, wow, like he's got a little bit more burst, or at least it seems that way. And then he did have more burst getting through the hole and breaking tackles that way. I thought he was much more viable. as a big play guy, as a guy, it's like you want him in space. So I thought he's really added to his game. And as he's kind of gotten away from his knee injuries, I think that's been a big benefit to him because he looked good. So it's going to be really hard. You know, I kind of thought Keidre Young, who didn't play, he's had a hamstring problem. I thought, you know, with Aeneas Williams and Keidre Young, it's just like they have a real chance to supplant Jabron Payne. I don't know that that's true anymore. It's going to be really hard to get him off the field now because he's played real snaps. And now he looks a lot better. He looks a lot more explosive. So that was another position that I thought like this looked really good in the game. The tight ends, obviously Eli Raridan played in the game, looked good. Not much to say there. I thought Cooper Flanagan looked good. I like Cooper Flanagan as a player. Jack Larson looked good. He had a nice catch and run there. So I thought the tight ends looked good in the game. I obviously Mitchell Evans is coming back and he's an NFL caliber tight end. So that position should be in a good place moving forward. Offensive line, I do want to wait. I would say we got to wait till we talk to Jamie about this because he's more of an interior guy. What I will say is, again, I thought they ran the ball. I thought they ran the ball really well for the fact that it was a spring game. I saw some really good stuff from Rocco Spindler in this game. I thought Spindler looked good. I thought Jagusaw looked good. I thought they moved the pile, right? There's not a lot of like just completely getting whooped. We saw some whoopings in pass protection, right? Some really bad whoopings in pass protection. That's got to get cleaned up, okay? Not all of it by frontline guys, okay? So that's notable. But that's got to get cleaned up. But I do think that there is – that is the one thing where it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad, but you just want it to be a higher level. You want a higher level of play from your offensive line. That is the one thing. But Notre Dame, like, they still move the ball. I think they have so many weapons. I think – and Mike Denbrock, here's the thing. Mike Denbrock, this is not his first day. This is not – he is not a rookie. He knows how to build an offense with the guys that they have and getting those skill position guys opportunities, even with the offensive line, even isn't as good as he would like it to be. You know, he's a good coach. Rajon says Sullivan Abshire is coming along. I agree. I thought Sullivan Abshire looked good in the game. I did. He had some tough moments, but I thought he had enough. There were enough good moments for him where you say that's a football player. And there's going to be that's going to be something. Adam Dowling says wide receiver and the passing game have been what's holding Notre Dame back. I agree. I also think the development in the coaching there has been holding them back as well. You know, just the emphasis on it. You know, I just think it's been a lot different, and the emphasis on the passing game, emphasis on the coaching. I think that's a good deal. Kenneth James says the spin about the punter entering the portal because he's beaten out has been decimated by the fact that Notre Dame will be seeking a punter in the portal. What actually happened? I don't know there. I think he didn't look. I think he might have been told, like, we are going to look in the portal. That's possible that he was told. Because the two things don't have to be. It's like maybe they said we got to look for someone because you're too inconsistent here, right? Like maybe that was the thing. It's like not necessarily you're losing your job to someone who's currently on the roster. You're gonna lose your job to someone who we're looking to pick up. That might have been the case there. So, but we're monitoring. We'll check out with the reporting on that, and we'll get back to you. So you're gonna want to check out our Hit and Hustle show that's coming on Tuesday and Thursday. We're always coming out, and the next one's going to be real good because we're going to have Jamie on, and Jamie can talk about it. He hasn't spoken about it. He's written about it on irishsportsdaily.com. You're going to want to check that out. all right, moving through positions. Let's go to defensive line. You know what? No, but before we do that, let's pay some bills. Because we got to highlight the people that support our show and bring this show to you, right? And make it look as good as it looks. And if you want your show to look good, and if you want your website to look good or your social media page to look good, then you want to go to VSRMediaCompany.com, which is founded by Notre Dame football pregame host and Emmy Award-winning anchor Vahid Saadrazadeh. VSR Media provides professional and cinematic video and photo. Whether you're looking for a collegiate or pro-level highlight reel, have a personal story to tell, or are aiming to diversify and grow your business, VSR Media specializes in short and long-form video storytelling, social media management, and website design. VSR Media also captures professional headshots, senior and sports photos. Contact them at VSRMediaCompany.com. Mention Irish Sports Daily to receive 20% off your first project. Visit them online or give them a call at 574-800-9106. All right, defensive line. We'll make the transition. Just up front, Howard Cross, Riley Mills. Didn't show a ton. Don't need them to show a ton. We know they're good players. RJ Oben, some flashy stuff. Some really flashy things, you know. And when you bring a guy in the portal and you want to see that, right? You want to see he can get around the corner. He can get around a corner and cause big problems. And we saw that a couple of times in this game. Boubacar Traore, same thing, right? Getting around the corner, showing burst, showing bend, showing elasticity, right? Thought he looked good. He looked good. So I liked Boubacar there. Josh Burnham made a couple of plays on the screen game and the run game. He looked good in this game. We saw some good stuff. Jason Anye was an absolute monster inside. Just a beast. This is another one. I don't want to make too much of it. You know what? We had an award. The Charles Stafford. Maybe we need to rethink his career award. This goes to Jason Anye, because you start to think, man, what could happen here? Because he looked good last year. He didn't look like this. He did not look like this at all. He was just explosive. He was getting in the backfield. He looked great. You look exactly like you want a guy like him to look. Sean Civilano, I mean, that's a big person. That is a big human being getting up field, making plays, like making the sack. You know, I don't want to, again, I don't want to freak out because I think it was against Pendleton who that was. I don't want to. Or maybe it wasn't Pendleton. I don't want to put it on him. But it was a good play. It was a reserve. But so what? Like, it looked good. So he looked great in there. Jalen Snead off the edge, like I talked about it before. Like, that is a real weapon for Notre Dame. I mean, he can really get up, and make plays there. So I thought the D line looked good. I'm the linebackers. We've talked about them. I mean, what an exciting group. An exciting group to follow, to track. I just, like, we've talked about it before, like, when you have players the caliber of Preston Zinter and Kahanu Kia, and we're not sure where they're going to play, how they're going to play, how they're going to get in the game. I mean, even the same thing with Jaden Osbury. Like, how are they going to play him? But they're going to find a way to play him, right? But there's just a ton of guys who are ready to play. And the athleticism, that's the thing. They're such good athletes, man. Like, these guys can run. They can hit. They are good athletic football players, right? All former offensive guys, right? And so that's, you know what, Michael? I said the linebacker room is loaded. Someone yelled at me. I got yelled at for that because they're all improving. I'm sorry. I'm saying it. They're loaded. It's a loaded room. You got Preston Zinner sitting there, doesn't know when he's going to play. Kahanu Kia making plays. The room is loaded. They have a ton of talent in there, and I'm just very, very impressed. Bryce Young made some plays. I mean, he's a long guy. Sergio, thank you for bringing that up, going back to the defensive line. Bryce Young will get drafted ahead of KVA, Carr, Gilbert Williams. I mean, maybe not Carr. Just I know what you're talking about from a positional value thing. If Carr is the truth, then maybe Carr will go ahead of him. But it's good. It's good. I mean, it's a very good situation. By the way, this is okay. This is when I want to talk about recruiting and recruiting rankings and Marcus Freeman. Is he recruiting well enough? You know, because we talk about the 25 guys and how they're not highly rated. Devin Houston did some stuff yesterday. Good point, Rajon. Thank you. They're not highly rated. Cole Mullins is playing inside, making an impact. Okay, making an impact, doing quality things, right? And you think about him, he was one of the lowest rated players in the class. And he got hurt last year. Just couldn't really show anything. Didn't play. And now he's on Notre Dame's roster playing D tackle now. He's playing three tech. He was brought in as an end. And now he's doing stuff. He's doing stuff in practice. He's doing stuff in scrimmage type situations. This is your lowest rated recruit. It doesn't matter what his star rating is anymore. Does it? It does not matter what Micah Gilbert's star rating is anymore. He was a low four. He was a low four guy. Look at him. Does he look like a low four guy? Not really, right? Like, so when we evaluate like how he's recruiting, look at this roster. Look at the roster and the guys that he has brought in to play. Luke Talich, he's a walk-on. Look at him making plays. Adon Shuler making plays. I mean, it's just like that's the point is the excitement that we feel about the way that this roster is put together right now is because of the identification by Marcus Freeman and the way that they have developed those guys. And so that's why I don't like, I think we are kind of at a point where there's a lot going on in the recruiting industry and the rankings and the ratings and all that. Like there is a lot going on there that so much I feel like is getting missed. And it's not even anything against like the services or anything like that. It's just that I don't think it means what it used to mean. You know, and so where someone is ranked or whether, I'm not saying it's completely irrelevant, right? It isn't. It's not completely irrelevant. But like Kennedy Urlacher yesterday, Ben Minnick yesterday, like those guys are like flying around and looking like, okay, they're smallish. Okay. But I just don't like, I just think, man, those guys, like they can bring something. Like those guys are going to be running down on special teams, like making plays for you. Like they're going to be doing that. So that's why I did think we need to keep that in mind. Michael says we can nitpick at Viper talent depth, but that's nitpicking. It is a little bit just because you can put Jalen Snead there. You can put Kahanu Kia there, right? There are things they can do. You could probably look at it, but you said it was nitpicky, and I believe that's right. Like I think you have a read on this. CFB Hurt says on three needs to be held to task for the Carr ranking. It's not good. It's not good. It's unbecoming. It was unbecoming in the moment, frankly. Maybe they should apologize. In fact, they should apologize for their read on the situation. They were not correct. He's very, very good. Let me see. I want to go back and Michael says pick starting linebackers today. Just curious what you think. I think you will see. Okay, so just in linebackers, like Jalen Snead is going to be on the field on third downs. Okay, so that's just going to be a thing. He's going to be out there. So, in the third down package, third down rush package, he's going to be on the field. So there's that. If we're just talking about base lining up, I think it'll be Kaiser at Will, Drake Bowen at Mike. I think Jaden Osbury is another one. He's going to have some sort of carved out role where he is going to be involved in the game plan every single week. I bet you he gets 20 to 25 snaps almost on a weekly basis. It's my guess. I think, so there's that. I think when they go, they'll make a change. They'll go KVA, Mike, Snead, Will. There's going to be a ton of rotation at linebacker. They're going to be interchangeable. And honestly, we're not really going to think anything of it. There's just no way that they can get away with not playing these guys. They have to play them. They just do. There's going to be a ton of guys getting on the field at linebacker, and that's good. That's a good situation. Keep guys fresh. wide receiver, Robert Halleck, he says possibly wide receiver. There's going to be a ton of rotation there as well. It's just impossible. Deon Colsey's where does he fit? Where does Bo Collins fit? Like there is no wide receiver on the roster who is going to do big numbers. It's just not possible. They are not going to be on the field enough. No one is going to be on the field enough. I mean, Micah Gilbert, if he was on the team last year, it'd be like he has to lead the team in something. Yards, catches. It'd be like Jaden Greathouse, you know. This year, Cam Williams, how's he going to get on the field? How does Micah Gilbert get on the field? Who's he play over? Does he play over Chris Mitchell? You could put Jordan Faison to the field. Jaden Thomas can play slot. Jaden Greathouse can play slot. Jaden Harrison can play slot. To the boundary, you can play Bo Collins to the boundary. You can play Jaden Thomas to the boundary. You can play Deon Colsey. You can play him to the boundary. It's just the how are these guys? And then you're going to have Jeremiah Love doing some stuff too. It's just that there's no way you're going to get a ton of numbers from wide receivers. It's just, it's completely flipped. It's completely flipped. We were talking, what, 10 guys? I mean, they said six. You at least have seven or eight. KK Smith, look at him in this game. How's he going to get on the field? You know, my thing is like you do what you want is, you know, because look, after next year, you're going to have Bo Collins out of the program. You're going to have Chris Mitchell out of the program, right? I don't want to speculate, but there's going to be other guys in the program. You want to make sure Micah Gilbert, Greathouse, right? Greathouse didn't go anywhere. Micah Gilbert, Greathouse, Cam Williams, Faison. Soldate isn't even on campus yet, right? He's another one. KK Smith, like get these guys like, hey man, buy into this. If you're like CJ Carr, if you're Deuce Knight and you're looking at this, you're just like, man, what's a better situation, especially at running back too? I don't know, man. It's just that Notre Dame is in a really good spot suddenly at the skill positions. I'm a lot more like, I don't like to be all like, it's going to be great. Everything's awesome. But it is what it is. When you watch them play, and they're doing stuff. It just is what it is. For me, the optimism is very, very high. Very high. I mean, like Xavier Watts barely plays in the game. Ben Morrison doesn't play at all. I thought Christian Gray looked really good. I think like physically he looks really good. He got beat on some plays, but he's like right there. Jaden Mickey played a good game. You know what? I thought Chance Tucker played a good game. I thought Chance Tucker was good. Micah Bell, listen, he hasn't played a ton of football. He got caught up in some stuff, right? He got beat, but he also made some plays. Like, show me you could be a playmaker, right? That's another thing. Rod Hurd isn't playing yet. Okay. Luke Talich made plays. Adon Shuler has been making plays. there's a lot going on for Notre Dame right now. I mean, you got your freshman coming in, Leonard Moore, Carson Hobbs. What are they going to bring? There's a lot going on for Notre Dame. Ryan says, who's on the headset on defense? Jack Kaiser, probably, yeah. I mean, he's the guy, right? He'll probably be a captain, so he'll be the one. And you want it to be kind of your main guy. Michael, thank you for the compliment. Always enjoy your input. Thank you for being here. I appreciate everyone being on this show. I appreciate we got a nice little crowd. We felt really bad. We felt really bad that it didn't work out because we were going to be it just didn't work out this year for a live recap, and we were upset about that. But I'm glad everyone's here. I'm glad everyone's listening to this. If you are, hit the like, hit subscribe, hit the notification bell, so whatever it is. We are going live. We're going to have like a ton of, like, it's going to be a great year. I'm very excited about it. We're going to add some new things, some new features to this show. It's going to be really good. We're really excited and we're working really hard. So thank you everyone for being here. Rajon says, when I tell my friends how good I think Notre Dame will be this year, I get a yeah, sure from them. This year, I really mean it. Yeah, I mean, look, this is all like Notre Dame has really good ingredients right now. You got to make a good meal though, right? You have good ingredients. You got to put it all together. And but the thing is that you trust in Al Golden, right? You trust in Mike Denbrock. Like, you give Mike Denbrock good ingredients, you feel like he's going to come up with something, right? You give Al Golden good ingredients, you feel like he's going to come up with, he's already come up with something, right? So I think that's important, to consider, like, those guys. I just think, like, Dylan McCullough, he's just a good running back coach. He does a good job with these guys. He really does. I liked what I saw from wide receivers yesterday. I mean, Mikey Gilbert's, he's running routes like precisely the way that you're supposed to. I mean, look good. Like, KK Smith looked good. Like, Mike Brown's done a good job with this group. Obviously, we know Mike Mickens can do it. And so it kind of remains to be seen on safeties, but I think that, you know, with Al Golden helping out there, I think that's key. We like Al Washington. I think Max Bull, I said it on the preview show, I think Max Bull is an absolute star in the profession. Notre Dame needs to keep him around. Find a way to keep him around. He is a star in the profession, just period. I think he's great. Marty Biagi, good special teams. The kicker, I don't know what to make of that. I guess it was really cold. It was really windy. I don't know. The kick was not, it was not aesthetically pleasing. Not going to freak out about it, but I don't know. It is what it is. Rajon's, like, we don't need a minor miracle at any position. Like, I just, there wasn't any position group yesterday where I thought that's a problem. And not just that, in every position group, I thought it's a good group right there. Like, those, that's a good group of football players. And it's like, look, it starts at quarterback. You know, we saw three guys. They were, what was it? I put it on Twitter. They threw for 516 yards. They threw for 66% passing and two touchdowns. Or no, not two touchdowns. It had to have been more than that. Angeli threw for two. Carr threw for one. And Minshew threw for one. That's four. And Minshew ran. So they counted for five touchdowns between the three of them. Riley Leonard didn't even play. He's your starter. And Leonard doesn't play. You know, like, that's where things are for Notre Dame right now. Look, you gotta go win the games, right? It has to come to fruition, right? A bad year for Notre Dame this year, it would be kind of devastating in terms of what are you hoping for? You know, like, what do you want, man? You got all these guys, you got all these good players. You got the skills guys, you got the quarterbacks, you got the defense, you're fielding a top whatever defense. You're going to field a top 10 defense with this skill position situation and Mike Denbrock. You got to be a really good team. You got to be a really good team. You got to go beat the doors off of Texas A&M. You just do, right? But that's a long time coming. The fact of the matter is that they had a scrimmage yesterday. I think we're all excited. Michael, ask it again. I missed it. Ask the question again about or repost it. I missed the quarterback question. So I'll repost it. It's probably far up and I can't search for it. So repost and I'll answer that. But it has to come to fruition, right? There's a lot of time about from now until then. Let's see if anyone enters the portal. That's looming, right? Spring is over. Guys know. Let's see if anyone enters the portal. That's going to be a big loss for Notre Dame. Not that we're expecting that, but it's something could happen. Could someone enter the program? I think in terms of portal stuff, they could target a tackle. I think they could. It's just hard to envision someone being obviously better than Jagusaw and or Baker. Obviously better, right? It's just that's hard. That's hard to come by. It's just hard to get those guys. And it's hard for those guys to get them to for them to want to leave their situation to come to your situation when you don't have a spring, you don't have any of that stuff coming in as a I don't want to say a stranger, but coming in as sight unseen, I guess, in terms of the overall roster. So that's difficult. Let's see if Michael's got his. Oh, okay. Michael says, I assume this would be the question. Who do you think will be the quarterback to transfer, if any do? I like Angeli, but he's more of a game manager quarterback, in my opinion. Kenny, CJ are difference makers. Thanks. I don't know. I don't know how these I don't know how these guys think about things. I don't know how the staff thinks about things. And so what I will say is it would be smart, in my opinion, if they waited until Leonard left. And then you fight it out in the spring of 2025 could be like a soup. They're not going to bring in anybody. That there is no way Notre Dame is into the portal in 2025. 1% chance. None. The only way I guess it's possible is if like Minchie and Angeli left after like tomorrow, you know? So but I don't think that's going to happen. And if it does, then maybe they go into the portal. But even then, I don't know why you would, because you would have Leonard, you would have, let's say, Carr, and then you would have Deuce coming in. I just don't think you would do that. I just don't. They won't. They might bring in a portal guy as like, you're definitely going to be a backup. That might be the case. But they are not going to the portal in 25. I think that you have an Angeli, a Minchie, and a Carr battle in the spring of 2025, and you go from there. There is no way that all of those guys post 2025 are still on the rosters. No way. Someone is going to start, and whoever is not, someone is going to leave. It's just, they are too good. They are too good to hang out. But who? I couldn't say. I don't know those guys. I don't know. I don't know the conversations that they've had. I don't know how they view things. I don't know how the staff has spoken to them. I don't know. All I know is that it's a good situation that Notre Dame is in now, but things change as far as people doing things. And, you know, if someone wants to leave, then I could see it, right? But I don't know who it's going to be. I think everyone kind of knows, like, it is an elephant in the room for the Notre Dame football program. Just, it's, it's a situation that's kind of untenable. So that's that. All right. I'm going to end it there. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you like what you heard today, please hit the like. Please hit subscribe. Please hit the notification bell so you know whatever it is. We are going live. Jamie and I will be live again on Tuesday. He's going to talk about we're going to talk about the spring game again. I'm going to get his insights onto what he saw and what he was thinking. And then I'm going to post some videos probably on the Twitter machine. I'll post videos there, some things I saw. I might try to do some stuff for YouTube as well. I might try to transition that, make it a lot easier for people to take it in. Other than that, everyone, enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Keep hitting and hustling.